Good afternoon, folks. It's the Air Culture Show, and you're listening to us on 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio, beautiful Uptown Waterloo at 108 King Street North. And today, my guest is Doug Wagner, and he's come in, a local guy, and we're going to talk a little bit about a farm show he's in charge of. But first, we're going to talk about some music. And I picked out a song here, Doug. It's Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Let's hear it.
When did you think? I can't remember when that first came out, when I first heard it. It's got to be way back,
Ooh.
20.
John Denver, oh wow, that's a long time ago, back in the 80s probably.
Yeah,
that's a few years back.
Back in the day, it's a good song at a dance,
exactly.
And lots of fun.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's play that song, folks. Stay tuned. My guest today is Doug Wagner, and this is episode 89 on August 19th of 2014. See you in a short bit.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with the needs of country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, pull out the fiddle and you're rossing up the bow. Kids are all asleep, so I keep the cattle low. And thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play a solid good all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo! Life of diamonds or jewels, I never was one of them money hungry fools. Rather have my fiddle and my farming tools. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah, city folk driving in a black limousine. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty keen. Son, let me tell you now exactly what I mean. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo! He died, took me by the hand and it close to his side. Said, live a good life, play my fiddle with pride. And thank God you're a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. Taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, but a riddle. I'm a country boy.
Hi, this is Krista Halsoff from Veld Architect and Our Farm. We would like to invite you to come listen to Mark Shepherd give a workshop on October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Waterloo, Ontario. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Okay, thanks for listening in, folks, today. Stay locked in. The Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. And let me reintroduce our guest today, and it's Doug Wagner. And so glad Doug came in, and I think you enjoyed that song as much as I did.
Sure did.
Yeah, the guy's going, yeehaw. Doug is here today on behalf of the Outdoor Farm Show, or how would you introduce yourself to people?
Well, thanks, Jeff. My name is Doug Wagner. I'm currently serving as president of Canada's Outdoor Farm Show.
And this is the 10th or 15th year?
This is the 21st year that we've been able to hold our farm show.
My goodness. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in our next segment, but let's get to know you a little bit more, Doug. You're a local guy.
Correct. I was born and raised in Waterloo County. I lived in the city of Kitchener for most of my childhood life and went to Forest Heights Collegiate. And after Forest Heights Collegiate, I've always had a little bit of an interest in agriculture. My father's family, well, still runs our Century Family Farm near New Hamburg, Ontario. But I did, after high school, attended the University of Guelph and the Ontario Agricultural College. And like a lot of colleges, they tend to open a lot of doors for opportunity. And I was able at that time to work on the provincial 4-H program based out of Toronto. For the Youth Extension branch and also work for the Junior Farmers Association of Ontario. So during that time period, main thrust of our work was to build youth leaders through the 4-H program, through 4-H golf clubs, well, you name it, swine clubs, goat clubs, and now they have paintball clubs and cooking clubs and sewing clubs. So,
and you know that they are celebrating their 100th anniversary.
Yeah, that's correct, and I'm pretty sure Waterloo County is one of the first places in Canada to have a 4-H program. So
that is
true. Pretty good, yeah, absolutely.
And not one to forget our friends from Junior Farmers, but they've actually reorganized in the county.
Yes.
And they are also celebrating 100th, I think, in 2015 and 4-H and 16 or something. They're very close together.
Yes, for sure.
And that's another whole topic we could do. Another whole show is all that stuff around the rural landscape. It's not just growing stuff. It's a community as well.
Correct. And building leaders for both rural and the rest of Ontario. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You make a good spokesperson for leadership. You know, what would people have to know about leadership? Boys, for some it says, "Oh, I don't want to do that," but it's a good thing. Any personal reflections on what it takes to be a leader? Is it got to be like flaming anger, or is it facilitation? What's it like being a leader as your experience of bringing up leaders in yourself?
That's a good question. I always, one of the cliches I've heard is, you know, there's three kinds of people. There's people that watch things happen, people that make things happen, and there's people that wonder what happened. I think people are looking for direction, and there's some people that are very good at organizing and giving direction, and if you're the right type of personality, other people like to be given direction, and if the combination is right with people giving and people receiving direction, both are important. But if someone can lead a group of people, good things can happen. So these rural youth programs you were talking about play a huge role in, developing young people that, you know, want to take on a leadership role as youth and later on in life, even though at the time they may not know it. But that's what they're kind of being groomed for.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And you spoke well to it, because lots of times we certainly looking for leaders in various things, and leaders help us at the farm show bring our message to our urban listeners, and also to help with our rural listeners and rural members. So good stuff there. What else? You're a local guy and you went to school, and you're raising a family now?
Yes, I actually, yeah, good question. I live near with my wife and our youngest son, Mason, 13, going into high school at actually Waterloo Oxford. This fall, we just live south of Baden, actually south of the communications tower for the few folks that travel Highway 7-8 between Kitchener and Stratford. So that's a little bit of a beacon. And I have a daughter that has two little babies. One's 2.5, one's just a little over a year. And then an older son that lives in Lindsay. He's a jail guard at the Lindsay Provincial Detention Center, and he has two daughters that are 7 and 11, both going to school in Fenland Falls.
My goodness, blessings everywhere, huh?
Yes, for sure.
I guess if you ever want to take him for a tractor ride, it's not too hard to do.
That's right.
So let's play another song, and then we'll get back to, and talk a little bit more about our next part of our show, which will be the outdoor farm show and what you do professionally.
Okay.
So here's a song. It's A Long Cool Woman in Black Dress. Do you remember that song? You got your thumbs up.
That's one of the old ones.
How do I know this? It couldn't be something back that we kind of grew up about the same time, maybe.
That's right.
Okay, folks.
That's right.
Just stay locked in. It's the Agriculture Show. It's your host, Jeff Tigg, with my guest today is Doug Wagner. We're going to play Long Cool Woman with Black Dress by Clint Black, I think the artist in this case. See you shortly.
Somebody shooting a gun. Well, the DA was pumping my left hand, and then she was holding my right. Well, I told her, don't be scared, 'cause you're gonna be spared. Well, I gotta be forgiven if I wanna spend a living with a long, cool woman in a black dress, just a fine line, beautiful tall. Just one look, I was a bad mess, 'cause that long, cool woman had it all. 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 She had it all. Had it all.
My name is Doug Wagner. I'm currently serving as president of Canada's Outdoor Farm Show. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3. Canada's Outdoor Show is held annually on a permanent site located just on the northwest corner of Woodstock, Ontario. This year celebrates the 21st year of our show.
Good. Thanks so much for doing that, Doug. Your voice will be on the show for years, as long as our sponsors keep sponsoring us.
There we go.
Our sponsors are the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture, and my hat's off to them for doing this outreach, trying to reach our rural message to the urban listener. So, Doug, let's hear all about what it is you're up to. The Outdoor Farm Show, you mentioned a couple of times. What is that?
Okay, Canada's Outdoor Farm Show, as mentioned, is held annually. We're an agricultural trade show. Business-to-business trade show aimed at commercial farm families and anyone that, you know, makes their living from base agriculture. We certainly are part of the production agriculture. You know, we're the group of suppliers, companies, researchers, science that has the task of creating food and for the world. Having said that, we also cater to and do have areas of our show that are dedicated to small landowners that may grow vegetable crops. Of course, vegetable crops can create a lot of a fair amount of wealth on a small acreage, and well as growers that have selected the more organic approach to crop production. So people that come to Canada's Outdoor Farm Show, no matter what angle they're looking at, are probably going to find the technology they're looking for to hopefully make them better at what they do on their own farms.
Makes sense. So as your listeners can appreciate, the professional farmer needs the latest and greatest in machineries and technologies and ideas. And Doug's company is doing that. That's not the only thing you do. Do you have other things you're doing with your group, right? I know you attend other trade shows too, right?
Yeah, I might just mention a few other things that we do. And before we talk about what you could actually see and do if you come to the show, Canada's Outdoor Farm Show is a member of, like a lot of organizations, or a member of big organizations. We're members of the Farm Show Council with us, which is North America based. That represents roughly the 25 larger shows in North America, both indoor and outdoor. And just to give you a few examples, Western Fair Farm Show in London, they're a member. Ottawa Valley Farm Show is a member. Canada's Farm Progress Show in Regina, Saskatchewan, they're a member. And then just to bop a couple in the U.S. from some of the towns that you're probably familiar with. One of the larger shows in the U.S. is the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California. Sunbelt Ag Expo in Moultrie, Georgia. They're an October fall show. Farm Science Review, they're a fall show run by Ohio State University, located just south of Columbus, Ohio. Last week, Empire Field Days in Seneca Falls, New York, that's an outdoor show. And then the Farm Progress Show, which is another large show in the Midwest, they call it the breadbasket of the U.S., is being held in Laboon, Iowa, and they're similar in size to Canada's Outdoor Farm Show, except they attract a lot of people. They probably have 80,000 farm families come to their shows over 3 days, so just because of where they are and all the road systems in the States, they tend to be a little bigger. But we're part of that, and we're also part of, just might add, we're also part of an organization based in Europe, which has quite a few agricultural and consumer shows, maybe a little bit more similar to the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto, but we're now affiliated with those shows as well. We have an affiliation with a group similar to ours in Europe, and might just mention some of you that do travel a bit may have heard of a big show called Agritechnia based in Hanover, Germany. It's the world's largest agricultural machinery show.
Now I'd like to go there. So have you been there?
Yes, yeah, over 2,000 exhibitors. Our show site is roughly 100 acres. The show at Hanover is an every other year show held in the fall. Their show covers roughly 100 acres or 40 hectares under 28 roofs. So I mean, it's our farm show under roofs that's held once a year. So it is huge. And anyways, it's and actually a lot of Ontario farmers go to Hanover, and I was there a few years back. And was quite pleasantly surprised that quite a few Ontario farmers, when they found out we were there, came to say hello. So that was kind of neat to see some people when you're ocean away come to say hello. So that was
it's really, a small really world now, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, isn't that the expression? Is a small world.
Yeah, exactly.
Ideas, technology, and people. It's just as easy to jump on a plane and see something as it is to go next door sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the outdoor show 21st year, and you're going to see production and agriculture, but you'll see some other things too. Like I think it seems to me last time I was there, there was some soil conservation stuff going on. There was some cover crop stuff, research stuff. So a little bit about that, maybe.
One of the huge points of difference for Our show and I mean other outdoor shows is field demonstrations are huge. One of the huge points of difference is our show is, of course, this part of Canada, Southern Ontario. We grow corn and soybeans. There's roughly 10 million tillable acres in Ontario. Probably 40% of that is hay or alfalfa. That's the green stuff that cows and other animals eat. Then, of course, there's corn, and soybeans make up a fair chunk of the remainder with other crops making up the balance. So that's primarily the crops that we're working with at the show. The companies that are at the show are showing proven varieties, newer varieties, and then they're also showing some of the newer varieties that haven't been approved for production yet, but they want farmers to take a look at them. So that's one part of the show. The field demonstrations, huge. This year, one of our huge demonstrations is what we call cover crops, and that's a farmer growing, for instance, clover, similar to clover that grows in your grass, whether you want it or not. Farmers like clover. It's what they call a plow-down crop, and it adds a lot of biomass material back into the soil to enrich the soil. So farmers will grow that, and they'll actually then work it into the soil to improve their soil tilth and, of course, have better crop production. So the game this year is that crop is sometimes a little bit difficult to get worked into the soil. So the demonstration this year, and there's about 20 companies, the game is show us your best piece of tillage equipment once over that can incorporate this green manure, green cover crop, in this case, red clover, back into the ground. So it seems to be a hot topic in Ontario this year. There's been lots of farm meetings that have covered that topic this past year. So the culmination of that is going to be at the farm show this year, where we can show farmers what we're talking about or what some of the technicians and specialists are talking about. They're going to see that at the farm show. So, like everybody, people like seeing things in motion. So that's one of our points of difference is that actually, and we encourage exhibitors to actually demonstrate the machinery at the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like I'm looking forward to the next part of our show. We talked a bit about what the public can see if they were to go there and what kind of important things to them they can be demonstrated by at this show. So we'll do that in our next segment. So, Doug, you've been very kind. You said, Jeff, I don't really have a lot of favorite music. And I had a CD in the car, but my wife's got the car. And so you pick some songs. So
you're doing well. You're doing real well.
Well, thanks for saying that. I've went through this here collection here, and you know what? I had a guest a little while ago bring along a song by Johnny Cash called Rusty Cage, and I just seem to think it's kind of an okay song.
I'm a big Johnny Cash fan too, so.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll play it. It's not a common one you see maybe on the full documentary of Johnny Cash, but we'll play that, and we'll be back and talk some more about agriculture and the farm show. And in the meantime, I will once again thank Doug for being here. My guest is Doug Wagner, episode number 89 on August 19th, 2014. And it's CKMS Radio, 1.2 Sound FM. We'll see you after this tune.
Me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nails. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. Too cold to start a fire, I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones. I'll take the river down to Stillwater and ride a pack of dogs. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my gonna break my rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my rusty cage.
So I'm Bob Thirlwall from DeKalb, Canada, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for listening in, folks. Moving along quite well here. My guest today is Doug Wagner from the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock. So, Doug, you had no problem with me picking the Johnny Cash tune.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, interestingly enough, if any of you folks have seen the movie called Walk the Line, it was interesting that Johnny Cash proposed to June Carter at a concert in London, Ontario, and I think that was the same about the same time they introduced the song Ring of Fire, and that's got to be the late 50s, early 60s when that was introduced. So yeah, I guess I've liked Johnny Cash for a long time, like lots of folks. He's a real legend.
Yeah, him and Stompin' Tom, I guess.
Stompin' Tom.
Is Stompin' Tom Connors Canada's version of either Willie Nelson or Johnny Cash? What do you think?
Geez, I don't know. I think Stompin' Tom is a one of a kind. I saw him here in town here too, like a lot of folks probably did at Binghamton Park a couple of years ago, and he's a one of a kind. He's another gentleman that we lost, but wow, true professional entertainer and musician.
Yeah,
and really made you feel good to be Canadian.
you and a lot of other people I know, some of the guys in the station here play lots of Johnny Cash because, boy, there's nothing, nobody else like him. Nobody since, I think, yet till now. I mean, sure, there'd be modern day,
yeah.
You know, people come along and then we get all kinds of, you know, people that become Canadian icons. And I'm sure we'll have one like that sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wow, that's good stuff. And maybe what we can do is we will maybe see if I can find this Stompin' Tom Connors and all this electronic paraphernalia that's floating around the station, and maybe we can play that in the next break. But but thanks for having that insight on Johnny Cash. It's nice to know that obviously he's a fan, and you're a fan of him, and so that's good to hear. The Outdoor Farm Show and production agriculture, I think there's 40,000 farmers in Ontario. This is the show for them. On the other side of the coin, the public's welcome. If the public went, what would they learn about agriculture? You can't help be impressed by the machinery, but what good thing can be said about the farm show that the average person would vibe with? Like, I know it's very kind of wide open, but please go ahead if that comes to mind.
Absolutely. For sure, as you mentioned, this is a business-to-business trade show, you know, where farmers come to learn what agribusiness has to offer, and agribusiness comes to the show to sell their goods and services to farmers. But having said that, if you're interested in where your food comes from, this is an interesting spot to come and see the new technology. In fact, the term I've been using this year is a good spot to come and experience technology and just take you for a little walk. You know, for you folks that are interested in horticulture, we have been working a little bit with the Ontario Food and Vegetable Growers Association. To talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the smaller plants that some folks grow in their gardens for their own use, their own food. That's an interesting part of the show. We probably all drink milk, or, you know, somebody or children that drink milk every day, one of nature's most nearly perfect foods. We have, over the last few years, have been able to do a relatively good installation of building a fully operational dairy barn. The difference being we have two herds of cows, one being milked by Lely robotic technology and one being milked by De Lavelle robotic technology. And that's interesting to see, how big is a cow? How big is 1,500 to 2,000 pounds? You can see that sort of stuff. You know, how does this robotics work? How does the milk get from the cow to eventually a milk cooling system? And then how does it get from a milk cooling system to the dairy, and from the dairy to the store, and from the store to your table? So you can take right back to the basics and see some of that happening. And of course, as Jeff mentioned to me, I mean, on the machinery side, you know, on the one hand, it's taking, you know, less farmers in developed countries to grow more food for the growing population. But having said that, the new tools that, again, science and technology is creating for farmers in those developing countries to use makes it possible for fewer farmers to grow more and better and higher quality food and produce it and get it to market in probably better condition, because all the way along the chain line to, you know, transportation, processing, and then again transportation, and then we all get to enjoy the nice supermarkets we have now. So that's all part of the system that all starts at Canada's Outdoor Farm Show.
Mm-hmm. No, that's an excellent description, Doug. I really appreciate you took time to think that through and say it out. But this is the first, as a conscientious resident of Ontario, you probably wonder more about food, and this is the Outdoor Farm Show will show you the first steps required in that, which is actually producing the raw ingredient.
Yeah, exactly. And one other thing I might just add here too, it's probably the appropriate to mention here. We have a program in Ontario, which I'm sure lots of your listeners have read about, called Agriculture in the Classroom. It's based out of Milton, Ontario, right along the 401 there at Kelso Park. We have a program with them, and it kind of works like this. I think there's roughly, I probably may be guessing, 400 or 500 high schools in Ontario, and a lot of those high schools are offering either agriculture or environmental biology related courses. So we invite students from only those schools that actually have those courses to come to our show. But the real neat thing is there are quite a few more trained school teachers on the market right now than the system has room for. So as part of their training, about 20 new school teachers come to the farm show, and they actually offer a course that complements the course going on in the classroom. And then they have, through Ag in the Classroom, arranged interview times with the exhibitors at the show. So any class that is coming to the farm show is going to be met by a trained school teacher, and they're going to go through sort of interesting experience while they're at the show that day. And of course, it's a real good cross section, because the teachers have prepared the students are prepared, the people that they're going to see are prepared. So they may go and look at a new machine that's being developed. They may, may go talk about, you know, what's hybrid corn, what's Roundup Ready, all that stuff, and learn about gene stacking, which is some terms I'm using that you won't know, but that's the kind of stuff that students will have an opportunity to learn more at the show. And again, it's all part of, you know, where does your food come from if you're a second or third generation removed from the farm?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I knew that, but I totally forgot it. And I had somebody else I can ask about later in our last segment about some of the other neat things about the farm show. But boy, that really illustrates the point. What you do at the farm show is relevant to our friendly urban listeners, that it's the first start of the food cycle, and is also a reassurance that to see that it's how it's done professionally based on science, and people are there to answer your questions if you were so inclined.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's a real spot for information. Of course, and again, not just our trade show, but all trade shows. Usually when, you know, you're at a trade show, everybody's in the mood to talk, you know. Introduce yourself and show some interest. And who's ever, you know, representing the companies is going to be more than happy to tell you what they're doing or why they're doing it, even if you're not necessarily, you know, interested in buying their product. Generally speaking, the people are in the frame of mind to share knowledge at trade shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is good. It's a good segue into our last bit of show, because we're going to want to make sure we get some web addresses out there of the show and where they can get information, stuff like that. We'll do that in our last segment coming up. And so guess what? I did find Stomp and Tom.
All right.
And it's good old Bud to Spud.
All right.
And that's, you can't beat that one, can you?
You can't beat that one or Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, that one's available too, but we'll just play the
sure.
one.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay. We'll be right back with you, folks.
It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down a highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now from Charlottetown or from Summerside, they load him down for the big long ride. He jumps in the cab and he's off with the brights of Biggles. He's got to catch the bolt to make Fermentine, then he hits up that old New Brunswick line. To Montreal he comes just a-flying with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now the Ontario Provincial Police don't think much of Bud. Yeah, the cops have been looking for the son of a gun that's been ripping the tire off the 401. They know the name on the truck shines up in the sun, Green Gables. But he hits Toronto and it's 7 o'clock when he backs her up again the terminal dock, and the boys gather round just to hear him talk about another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling. The Spuds are big on the back of Bud's rig. They're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island. Now I know a lot of people from east to west that like the Spuds from the island best, cause they'll stand up to the hardest test right on the table. So when you see that big truck rolling by, wave your hand or kind of wink your eye, cause that's Bud the Spud from old PEI with another big load of potatoes. It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down the highway smiling, because he's got another big load of the best doggone potatoes that's ever been growed. And they're from Prince Edward Island. They're from Prince Edward Island.
Hi, this is Rob Horn from the region of Waterloo. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, so we're back, and we're in our last segment. I don't know where the time goes by. And as our listeners know, this is a little bit of a kind of a wind-up and a review of what's been talked about so far and any kind of things that topics that came up we had forgotten about. And just to start off, I'll just mention to our listeners that first we talked about Doug Wagner himself, and he is a local guy and raising a family and come through our local agriculture college at Guelph, and has had a full career wearing many hats, and leadership is certainly one of his trainings and abilities. And then we talked a little bit about music, and Doug knows what he likes to hear about music, and so I got lucky and played songs he seemed to like. Is that true, Doug?
Absolutely true.
We did.
I'm a fan of Stompin' Toms too. Yeah, absolutely.
And he goes back to some time ago, but I think everyone has listened to his stuff. It's great. So you're still living in the area, and it's a close drive to work, so that's kind of nice.
Yes. Yep.
And then you get to drive through beautiful country of water, of in the countryside, rather than having to brave the 401 and other crazy things.
Yeah, actually, I tell everybody, I have a real neat ride just not very far from my house, near just south of Baden, as we mentioned. I actually drive across one of those old rusty bridges, the high arch bridges, single lane wide, and I tell everybody it's like driving through a postcard when you drive through that. It's just like going through a postcard when I go to Woodstock. The other interesting thing is there isn't a gasoline station or a coffee shop between my house and my route to Woodstock. So
that can be good or bad, I suppose.
But you got to be sure you have a little bit of gas in your tank. You're not going to get there. So
you're going to want to start carrying along a camera with you.
Yeah.
If you have the eye to notice a scene, it might be good to capture
yes.
that.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty handy with a camera. Yeah. I've seen you do that before. So
Yeah, a little bit.
And given that background, then we talked a little bit about the Outdoor Farm Show. It is the latest and greatest technologies, machineries, ideas for production agriculture, and lots of manufacturers showing off their latest creations. And if you're a production agriculture in Ontario, you probably want to be there, just, if nothing else, just to keep up with what's going on. It's a great education. Not everybody's going to buy that stuff, but there's you want to know what's available. Do you ever keep track of all your people who visit the show? Who does attend the show?
Well, absolutely, yeah. A lot of trade shows, it's all kind of business driven. We do every year. We do exhibitor surveys, and part of the success of our show is the fact that we built our show and continue to have meetings with exhibitors on an annual basis to help us improve, build, select what they want to do with the show. For example, we talked about cover crops a few minutes back, and that was what the industry wanted to demonstrate at the show this year because it's a hot topic. So that's mm-hmm. That's what we've been aiming towards. And
things like that are a reflection of society's interest. Nowadays, people
yeah.
are interested in good soil husbandry.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know what that means because, honestly yeah. enough, not too many people are actually connected to agriculture.
Yeah.
But you can come and see what is the latest
yeah.
approach to soil husbandry from a production standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. And I might also mention, no different than political parties, we do Angus Reid type polls of our... We do Angus Reid.
You got a sneeze coming on.
Excuse me. I'm
That's
sorry.
All right. That's an honest one. Good man.
Anyways, yep. We do. We interview our attendees to find out what they want to see at the show. Why do they come to the show? How far are they coming to the show? Like, how much are they going to be investing on in their businesses this year? Who are the decision makers? All that sort of stuff. We ask the questions again that our exhibitor base want to ask, because of course, from our people that exhibit at our show go back to after the show's over, and they've got to talk to their managers. They always talk about this term called return on investment. So we certainly work with the exhibitor base to get the information from the attendee base to be sure that we're meeting that that goal of return on investment with our show. So we spend a fair amount of time getting a handle on what farmers want to do when they get to the show, what we can do extra that they want to see at the show. And quite often, mentioned we've been in Germany. For that group of farmers that's gone to Germany and they've seen something, they quite often will call us or email us and say, "Hey, we saw this. You guys should do this as a demo at our show." And it may not be next year, but somewhere down the road, we'll keep our eye on it, and that may become a technology that we want to share with Ontario farmers.
So this is all good news, and don't want to forget that there are so many other aspects to the show. You very kindly mentioned the agriculture in the school program. What other kind of community groups help out? I think there's a service club that does fundraising because they help with the meals there. And just tell
yeah.
us all the other stuff that people... it's not just a farm show.
Yeah, exactly. Those are good questions. Of course, we mentioned we're based in Woodstock, Ontario. The CEO for the city of Woodstock, whom we meet with on an annual basis, and the mayors of both the township that we're beside and the city, they tell us that we double the size of Woodstock. When we come to town for the farm show, we double yeah. the size of the town. It's a great fundraiser for the show. In fact, we have... there's 10 or 11 Lions clubs around, you know, Woodstock and Thorndale and Sweeburg, and that's just New Hamburg, that get together. They have a committee, and they call themselves the 37S Lions. That's their zone. So they're an incredible group. My hat's really off to them. Roughly, they arranged to have 240 to 250 volunteers come to the show for the 3 days to serve. I don't know, and they have the numbers, how many hamburgers, and they make great French fries. They've got 8 or 9 fryers going all the time. They have one gentleman, of course, that's in charge of laying it out. They got one gentleman that's in charge of buying food, one gentleman that's in charge of catering, one gentleman that's in charge of their big tent at the show. So, and then in addition to that, we have clubs that help with, we kind of break it down into pieces. That's how you break big stuff, make big stuff happen, break it into small pieces. You know, we've got parking and traffic and ticketing, and we have a gates committee, and we have a committee that, you know, drives our people movers to get people around the show site. So all said and done, we work out with them a fee, and then collectively we probably, you know, generate or contribute back to the community between $150,000 to $200,000 on an annual basis. And at probably any one given time, there's probably 80 to 100 people there with community service groups that are helping us put the show on. So hopefully, I mean, if you come when you get to the show, there's people on the road, there's people in the parking lot, there's people at the gates, there's information booths. So if you have a question or you're lost or get disorientated, we've got lots of well-qualified people to help you find your way back to your car.
That's hugely impressive that so many people benefit from the show. You never think about those parts. And the show is getting bigger all the time. I'm just going to guess off. I think it was like 5 years ago you expanded onto another part of the site.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's just, how big does it get? It takes all kinds. Yeah. Like, I'm the kind of guy who wouldn't mind just kind of look the scene as much as I can, and it's going to be a big stroll.
Well, that's another interesting question. For a lot of farmers, you know, we haven't talked about where the farmers come from. You know, most are from a tar radius, but we're drawn from Eastern Canada, Western Canada, the northern states, and as mentioned, you know, we're doing some back and forth work with some groups in Europe. So, you know, we've got some international visitors come, and we have an international visitor center, and hopefully, you know, we can put some of those people together with. You know, if they're looking for any particular type of technology, we can put, you know, those two people together. And just like our farmers go to the shows in Europe, same deal, you get over there. If, you know, they're looking for something specific, there's usually the show offers that service. So so we're doing that as well at our show.
One other thing, too, you're probably web active, and is there some links and Twitters or whatever you'd like to pass along at this
time? Yeah, absolutely. The show is called Canada's Outdoor Farm Show. Our website is outdoorfarmshow.com, or just punch in farm shows, and we'll come up. We also, you can follow us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, and we actually have a young lady that has just recently started with us, and her job for the next month is to be up to date and follow all the comments and all the information that's going back and forth on all those social media. And she'll be coming with us to the show for 3 days, and she'll be tracking all that information on an hourly basis, already in there with everybody else in this new social media era.
Oh, and I hope that our show, our broadcast fits in that scheme someplace. It keeps our sponsors happy, and it's interesting how you know, our listeners, possible consumers and buyers, all have a different combination of how they, I just much like sitting down with a good magazine myself personally. And so you have print media as well.
Yes, print media,
But then it's also true, there's lots of guys who people like their information visual or audio.
Yeah, agriculture actually is still very print media focused, but, you know, as younger generations come along the line, they want it all on their smartphones. So we're trying to cater to both. One thing I also want to mention as well, which I think is kind of unique about our show, we're actually on one of the research stations that is owned or operated by the University of Guelph and the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food. So the University of Guelph actually does research on part of the station, and it's been a very good partnership. The university is the real research end, and the farm show is, you know, taking that research commercial, and we can demonstrate farmers how, you know, some of the money they invest in research is actually put to the test at the actual show. So that's something that's relatively unique. And of course, I mentioned I'm a graduate of the Ontario Agricultural College. The founder was some of the folks on our team are, and of course we've all taken an active role in the OAC alumni associations and the foundations and all that sort of stuff to keep actively involved with scholarships and bursaries and all sorts of things to encourage you know, young people to be part of agriculture.
That's just as important to show leadership as to mentor the next bunch coming up too. Yeah.
One more thing I might add too, and you're talking about I got to stop talking. I was asked this question this morning.
Please.
And it's an appropriate to mention. A lot of parents, you know, are wondering what are their kids going to do for a career. There is lots and lots of positions in agriculture, high paying, very fulfilling, right across the whole gamut. You know, research, a lot of animal feed technicians, crop technicians. There's a huge requirement for folks that like working in the machinery industry, on the sales side, on the repair side, on the parts side. There's a huge need for good people in agriculture. You know, so if you want to steer yourself and invest your money in a good way, and have your sons or daughters graduate with an industry that has lots of opportunity, this is it. And not just primary agriculture, like I'm in, but you know, through the food industry, and we actually have recruiting companies on the show site looking for good students, experienced people, you know, to move within the industry.
Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've had guests on here already, and we talked about that I think every ag grad gets a job and there's still some waiting.
Absolutely.
And so parents or when you're if you're a situation where you're a young person don't to do, this is a very good choice.
Yeah.
Come to the show, get an idea what the whole thing's looking like.
You know, we've talked to some of the owners of you know, some of the crop service companies, and they just don't know where they're going to get qualified students or people graduating out of schools to fill all the positions they have. When they look at what they need and what their competitors need, there's just a wealth of opportunity for students or people that are coming out of high school to take a second look and say, hey, maybe I should be looking at this industry of food and agriculture production.
You know, I did see kind of a crossover opportunity just the other day. So, you know, I'm on the web like everybody. You see a YouTube and they've got little gyrocopters go up and it's just amazing. But there are crop services out there now where, in fact, you do take your gyrocopter,
you
scan crops for a guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, how many? I just think that's a huge opportunity.
Oh, yeah, for crop scouting, it's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, as recently as probably you know, 4 or 5 years ago, the only way to crop scout was walk the field. Well, now they're putting up these little, I call them drones robocopters. they have all kinds of names. But yeah, we actually had a demonstration at our show 2 years ago on that, because you can spot a whole lot of deficiencies in a crop from the sky, and they actually steer them with their computers. It's actually quite fascinating. And then of course they can they can fly over a couple of times and then start layering information and even learn more information about the crops and, you know, where the spots in the field are that are, you know, suffering from fertility or need a little more, or they're having a few more issues with weed control. So it's, and they can do it in a matter of minutes. And the reporting is absolutely astronomical. And plus, you get it on your smartphone, you know, so, and that's what a lot of the aggressive farmers want, is that information right at their fingertips, right on the fly while they're moving.
You know, a lot has changed in 20 years. It just occurred to me that, you know, 20 years ago, you would crop scout when you're driving a combine, driving through the field harvesting, and you had missed things by now, and now you do with a drone.
And
nowadays, you have a media person doing stuff, but 20 years ago, media was, you know, make sure we get an ad in the paper type thing.
Exactly.
It just changes, huh?
It just changes. It's incredible, and the changes keeps on coming. And there are good, interesting changes. That, you know, like all industries, agriculture can take advantage of this new technology just as much as any other segment of society.
We've covered all kinds of good stuff here, Doug. I'm just delighted how things come to mind. You want to talk about them? We can talk some more about something else. If not, we'll think about wrapping up the show. We're ready for the next DJ in a little bit. But anything else come to mind?
Well, actually, getting back to the stuff that's interesting to consumers, we have hosted the Canadian Energy Expo for the last couple of years, and that, I mean, energy goes across all segments of society. So one of the interesting things that's coming to the show this year, of course, we've seen solar panel technology, we've seen windmill technology, and some people love it, some people hate it. This year, though, it's interesting. We are going to be demonstrating compressed natural gas. So you have seen propane tankers go down the road with propane. We're entering into a new era where we're going to be dealing with compressed natural gas. You can actually buy a tanker load of, and I don't exactly understand how it's all going to interface, but you can buy yourself a load of compressed natural gas. The other thing that was new at our show recently, as a year ago, was these natural gas conversions, especially for companies with fleets. We've got a company just west of Kitchener on going towards Stratford that they're the Canadian distributor for compressed gas natural technology, and they have a couple of spots at their spot, and then of course you demonstrate that at our show. So there's some interesting things along the energy side that would be interested to a broad sector of people ever come to the show.
Oh yeah, and you know, there's so much the use of bio residues and intentional residues for either structural stuff like for plastic augmentation or for fuel energy sources, and this is all the way from corn stalk to miscanthus to all kinds of byproduct and intentional crops for these other alternative purposes now. And I think probably as we know, some of those other uses include things like ethanol and so on. Oh my goodness, we got lots of roaring noises out there today, don't we?
Exactly.
We'd like to think it's part of our charm, being in the hub of town, on 108 King Street North, right on King Street. But sometimes there's a lot of traffic out there too. I think I've seen all those things at the show there, Doug. I think I've seen woodworking is still a part of
the
show.
Yes, we have a woodlot expo.
And we're talking all the way from splitting for firewood to actually creating saleable lumber from a farm bush lot, for example, I think. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Actually, yeah, the gentleman that is our woodlot expo coordinator, he actually brings samples of probably 30 different kinds of logs just so people can have a look and see what a different kind of wood is and how it's used. That's another really interesting part of the show. A few other things, if I may.
Yes, please.
App. We have a farm show app. You may have to go to our website to figure out how to get onto that. But that's new this year, and everything that I have in front of me in print is on the app. For the folks that want to prepare before they come to the show, that's interesting. Oh, some more fun stuff for consumers too. If you're thinking about buying a new pickup truck. Mm-hmm. Ram has a test drive. You can drive a new Ram 1500, 2500, 3500. You know the Ram's got the new Eco Diesel. It's actually a pretty long test drive you can take. And Toyota Canada, they're back at our show. And they introduced their new redesigned Toyota Tundra pickup truck last year. And you're going to be able to ride and drive that on the road this year for the first time. That's the first time Toyota's done a ride and drive on the road. So if you're interested in a pickup truck and you want to come and talk to the guys that designed them, you can see it, feel it, touch it, drive it.
And I know, too, the other kind of peripheral groups are there. You mentioned university research, but also conservation authorities. I think Ducks Unlimited, have they been there?
Yes, they were more active in previous years, but that's another whole different deal. We live in the Grand River watershed here. Yeah. The farm show is in the Thames watershed. But the Conservation Authorities of Ontario and our local Grand River Conservation Authority, they do a huge outreach and interaction with helping farmers make some of those decisions about keeping about keeping their resources to the to use the best of their ability and keeping some of those resources out of our water stream. So they're a huge resource. They do a lot of good stuff there, a lot of interact between farmers and general society. And, of course, a lot of those GRCA people, I mean, they went to school with us too, eh? So yeah. We're all sort of from the same cloth and are working in different industries that complement each other. So
the farm show may be good for an interested urban listener, and that's because between the extremes of certain political groups that, you know, we ought to just go back to an earlier type of production system, you will find the crossover at this production show where those manufacturers are listening and are in conversation with conservation people and other groups that are actually involved in this process and are finding
other part of the process
workable answers.
Absolutely.
Good to hear.
And,
I think that's the key. I think we want to leave people with the message that agriculture is good. Thank you very much. We're doing a great job. Yeah. Thank you very much. And this is how we're doing it. Come out and see.
Absolutely. And I mean, agriculture has nothing to hide. Like all industries, everybody is using science to guide them. And without science as a guide, where do you go? But science is really leading this industry. And at the end of the day, we're feeding the world. I mean, it's a lot of it. A lot of the technology is American, Canadian, European. That's where a lot of the progress is being made, and you can see it. And the other thing that's interesting, every year we have people come to our show for the first time, and they cannot believe how big it is, why we didn't know about it. And then secondly, a lot of exhibitors from right around here that come to our show, they travel not just North America, but they travel the world, and they say, you know, you guys have got a pretty special show here right in your own backyard. So if you have the time and want to slide out for an afternoon when the show's on, we'd be happy to have you come and visit us.
And the dates are?
September 9, 10, 11.
9 to 11. A Tuesday to a Thursday.
Tuesday to a Thursday, midweek.
And if you can't get enough fix of rural Ontario, you can head up next week to see our good friends up at the Plowing Match in Ivy, Ontario. I think this is a week after, actually. So,
correct.
You can see Ontario in the midst of harvest in a very beautiful time of year, moderate temperatures, and get your eyes full of all kinds of really interesting, neat stuff about agriculture. So, oh my goodness, Doug, we covered a lot of stuff, buddy.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came here organized and had a thought of what you want to talk about. This is excellent.
Yeah. I didn't know I could talk for an hour either, but here we went. Yeah, there's actually. It's a pretty exciting industry, and I tell everybody, you know, as I mentioned, come experience technology. The excitement around the show and the amount of energy, it's just one of those things where you got to be there. It's almost like going to a concert, except it's not. If you go to a good concert, you can feel the energy. When you come to Canada's Outdoor Farm Show, you can feel the energy and the excitement and the keenness of the people that are involved in the industry, and it can't help make you but feel good. And feel rest assured that your production of food is in good hands.
Hmm. And you're a good spokesman for it. So once again, thanks so much for coming out, Doug. Just been a real treat.
Okay.
And good luck with what you're doing, and we'll probably see you in another couple of weeks here.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
And with that, folks, we'll call it a wrap for today's show with the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM. And my guest today has been Doug Wagner from the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock, Ontario. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.